On page 25 in our New Testament section of the Pew Bible, Matthew chapter 22. At the beginning of Matthew chapter 21, he enters into the city, and it's Holy Week. We have had those three parables that many of us felt were not really suitable for Sunday morning, but nevertheless, we had those three parables, and now Jesus is having conversation with the religious powers in the temple. Two predominant religious powers in the first century. You have the Sadducees, very conservative about their approach to Scripture. If it doesn't say it, they don't do it. So if there's not explicit talk about heaven, there's just no heaven. Sorry. Right? Very conservative. The Pharisees, in comparison, more liberal. But what the Sadducees and the Pharisees could both agree on was they didn't like Jesus. And so they managed to reach across the aisle to deal with him. And so that's sort of the context where we find ourselves here in Matthew 22. Listen now for a word from God. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for this time together, time when we can be separated apart from everything else we have to do, and we can just be together. Help us to focus on your word, and through your word, we might hear a word of your Son speaking to our hearts. We ask it in his holy name. Amen. When I was in seventh grade, my uncle, the same uncle that I spoke about last week in the afternoon that had the gray market Porsche, let me drive it when I was 16, he gave me a copy. He made a copy for me, a VHS tape. It was a copy of a copy. So I have to confess to you, brothers and sisters, I may have or may not have infringed upon copyright law there, but I had a copy of a copy of Monty Python's Quest for the Holy Grail, so my religious training was beginning already. And I watched it almost every day after school for at least 2 weeks and could kind of quote it chapter and verse. Let me just show you about 2 minutes and 8 seconds, not to be too exact, from a part of the movie.
"Who had crossed the bridge of death must answer me these questions, thee. Ere the other side he see."
"Ask me the questions, bridge keeper, I am not afraid."
"What is your name?"
"My name is Sir Lancelot of Camelot."
"What is your quest?"
"To seek the Holy Grail."
"What is your favorite color?"
"Blue."
"Fine, off you go."
"Oh, thank you. Thank you very much." "That's easy."
"Stop. Who approaches the bridge of death must answer me these questions three. And the other side he see."
"Ask me the questions, bridge keeper. I'm not afraid."
"What is your name?"
"Sir Robin of Camelot."
"What is your quest?"
"To seek the Holy Grail."
"What is the capital of Assyria?"
"I don't know that."
"Stop. What is your name?"
"Sir Galahad of Camelot."
"What is your quest?"
"I seek the Grail."
"What is your favorite color?"
"Blue." "No."
Thank you.
your name?
It is Arthur, King of the Britons.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
What do you mean? An African or European swallow? Huh? I don't know that.
You didn't know so much about swallows.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.
There you go. Just comes with the King Manual. A lot of good swallow information. So if you didn't really understand anything that just happened, and you felt that the video quality was very poor, that's how I felt when I was in seventh grade. So you're right there with me. It is interesting, you know, listening to Dawn talk to the children this morning and the parallel she makes with the session and the presbytery. And I felt a lot like all of those nights coming before presbytery days and days ago when you just, you know, they ask you some questions and you're not exactly sure what the answer is, and you sort of stumble and try to make your way. We do encounter people sort of like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, and they have some specific questions. And it's sort of like they already know what the answers are. You know, Jesus is there and he's teaching. And the Pharisees say, "What is the greatest commandment?" I mean, don't they know? I mean, it's on all the doorposts. They've already said it several times today if they've come in and out of their houses. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength." And it goes on and on. And the idea is you are to love God with everything that is you. If there's any part of you, it needs to love God. This is all inclusive. Just like God is all one, we're called to, in unity of mind, heart, and soul, love God. This is the greatest commandment. There's not much, you know, debate going on. And so they know the answer. They just kind of want to trick Jesus, right? Trip him up. There was already a rabbi who used to say that he could recite the whole Torah by standing on one foot. And people would say, "All 613 laws? He can say them all?" And all he would do is say, "Love the Lord your God with all your debt, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then he was like, "Oh, well, that's okay." But so this was already a thought going around. There are some people, you know, that like to be right. Have you met them? Maybe, if you haven't met them, it's because you are one of them. Just saying. You know, I have things where the right way to do things. I've got that too. Some of you may have noticed that the bulletin's the wrong color. If you didn't notice that, you might not be one of those people. But everybody's got there's just the right way to do some things. And so that's fine. We've all got our little hang-ups about that. What we might want to realize is that if we spend a lot of time and energy on being right, we have less time and energy on being loving. And it might be more important, really, to be loving than to be right. If you have to pick, which you might not always have to do, but if you had to, it might be more important to be loving than to be right. Because you can be right, but you'll be alone. Because not a lot of people are going to want to be around you if you're complaining about the pink bulletin. So anyway, so these are the Pharisees, and they're very focused on being right. And they also have kind of that cold anger that sort of simmers under the surface. And they ask Jesus this question. What's the greatest commandment? And he says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two. And all on these, everything depends. These are the two that the strings of everything else, they're all balanced on. Like sort of like an old mobile that you made in grade school with you managed to get a hanger and tape the pieces of string. And that's it, man. Love God and love your neighbor. We've all encountered people who were really good at loving God. Oh, they loved God so much. They didn't much like anybody else, but boy, they loved God, devoted to church but you wouldn't trick or treat at their house because the love of God sort of stopped at the front door, and they're not gonna just give it out to anybody. We've all encountered other people really good at they just were so loving. They loved everyone. They just, it just, and then you ask them a little bit, well, tell me about your spiritual life. That's when that stops. I don't have a spiritual life, and I don't believe in God. And could have fooled me. Kind of seemed like you love neighbor, love everybody. You know, we don't want to choose, right? We're challenged to love God and love neighbor, to do them both. Now, I must have had some extra time on my hands this week because I made a couple of really fancy videos. You guys are going to, if you thought that clip from Monty Python was amazing, the technology in this next piece is going to blow you away. I actually took a video with my iPhone and I videoed myself writing on a piece of paper with a pen. You guys are just, this is some high-tech business right here. When we think about love of God and love of neighbor, it's very easy to start to think about sort of the vertical and the horizontal, right? And so on the horizontal, we have everyone we deal with all the time, the people in our lives. This is the realm of neighbor, right? We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Judy read it well from Leviticus. I'm sure that's her favorite book. She really likes the skin diseases part, but she read a great passage about that. But then we also live in this vertical realm, right? Love of God. And I'm sorry that my handwriting is small, but if you could see it better, you would realize the poor penmanship that I have. So we have this horizontal world where we love our neighbor, and the vertical where we love God. And we're challenged to sort of live at the axis, right? At that circle. We're challenged to figure out how to do both. Some people are really good with the vertical, some people are really good with the horizontal, and we've got to figure out how do we do both? Are we already doing both? You know, we think of all the great scriptures. How can you say you love God who you can't see when you don't, not very nice to your neighbor who you can see, right? Now, I want to tell you, I made another video, but before we go to that, I want to tell you about a guy named Dorotheus of Gaza. Dorotheus, as you might guess, is dead. Our dead theologian today. It's today's sponsored dead theologian. Dorotheus of Gaza was an abbot. So abbot means Abba, like father. He was in charge of a monastery in the 5th or 6th century. And his monastery, I was told by a historian, in his monastery, they had a lot of fighting. A lot of fighting. And I said, oh, a lot of like quarrels. And she said, no, they had fighting, like fist fights. It was like Fight Club. Fight Club in the monastery. Monks were punching each other in the face. And I said, what did he do to curtail the violence? And she said, well, naturally, he preached sermons. well, there you go. That's the way to solve every, you know, maybe just put everyone to sleep or something. They were just out. They were very long sermons. But he talked about a different way of thinking about love of God and love of neighbor. And he talked about him in a way that it's really captivating to me. And so I made this next video, which is equally poor and also involves, but I wanted you to know I started with a new piece of paper. I had a little trouble figuring out how to hold it and the pen at the same time. But we want to start with not thinking about God in a vertical way, but let's imagine the center of a circle and put a dot. Oh, look how good I did with that dot. And that's God, right? God is at the center, right? The center of our lives. And instead of thinking of God in a vertical way, let's imagine everything revolving around God. So the whole world and everything that is surrounding God, and God is at the center, Dorotheus says. And we all, so I write the word world, and it looks like I had to count how many letters because I didn't know how many letters in a world. And I know you don't think that's as funny as I do, but that's fine. So world, God, good. Now we all are in relationship to God, and so we're all these radii going into this, to the center, right? And this is where we're in relationship with our neighbor. We have all these little neighbors. And what I love about this is as we get closer to God, we get closer to each other, he said. Now check that out. As I get closer to God in my relationship with God, I am naturally, because of the way the universe is set up, I'm naturally going to get closer to others. As I care more about God, and God becomes more of a priority in my life, I'm going to care more about other people. And the opposite goes as well, or not the opposite, but the other bit goes too. As I get closer to others, I get closer to God, right? This is a different way to think about it. We don't have to think about doing all the work. We don't have to think about how can I pat my head and rub my tummy at the same time. That's not what it is. As I get closer to other people, I'm getting closer to God because God created them and God loves them and God has put them in my life. And as I get closer to God in my prayer time, as I think about other people and what they're going through, I become more concerned about other people, right? And we're all traveling the spokes, he said, all traveling the spokes of this wheel together, getting closer and closer to God and closer and closer to one another. That's probably how he got people to stop fighting. He talked about that, which I think is fascinating. And this is what Jesus presents to us, this idea of love, loving God and loving neighbor. Love is, he used the word agape, love is this muchness, this muchness that we feel, this willingness to entertain a new idea or a new thought or a new person. Love is this welcoming that we have in our lives because God has planted it there. Love is this fondness we have for each other, this muchness. I really like that idea. This is what love is, unconditional. There's no conditions, no rules, no need to be right because there isn't a wrong. This is this unconditional that comes from God and is given to us. This is the love that we share for each other. So how do we, this is the pragmatic move, how do we move from where we are? How do we move closer to God and to one another? How do we do that? What are the steps? Well, I think Jesus gives us a little inkling today. He kind of sneaked something in. And you've probably seen it so many times, you didn't know he was really kind of sneaking it in there. He said, when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He recited the Shema from Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And the second is like unto it. He quotes Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Kind of snuck that in. Love your neighbor as yourself. Frederick Buechner, the Presbyterian writer, also presents that the other way. We're not just supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to love ourselves as we love our neighbor. I think that's where we need to focus. Because sometimes we are so magnanimous to other people, we will excuse anything, forgive everything. But when it comes to us, we whip ourselves, we blame ourselves, we carry with us on our backs the burdens of years and years of mistakes that we will never let go. And is that what God wants for us? Not to extend the grace to ourselves that we would so freely give to everyone else? I think that's where we need to spend time in our own prayer lives, in our own personal lives, loving ourselves. Oh, that's the hardest thing, isn't it? To forgive yourself, to love yourself, to allow that muchness that Jesus talks about, that God gives to each of us and to all of us, to extend that muchness to myself and to let things go and to let things slide and not worry about if I'm right, but just be loving to myself. If I could do that for myself, that would change all my relationships because it changes my own perspective. Roberta Bondi talks about, she's a historian who told me all about Dorotheus and all the Fight Club stuff. She talked about how love is a disposition, how love is a posture and an orientation. And I know I've told you that before, but if we could love ourselves and experience that unconditional love that we offer ourselves and that God offers us, if we could experience that, then our orientation and our posture and our disposition toward others is radically changed, isn't it? It's radically changed. To love God and to love our neighbor and to love ourselves like we love our neighbor. That is the invitation that Jesus offers us today. And I hope you'll accept that invitation. But you know what? If you mess up, it's okay, because he'll offer it again. Each day can be a new day for us. Each day we can love God a little more, love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and love ourselves as we love our neighbor, today and tomorrow and forever. Amen.